left off last week. We were discussing the malach of kosher. And we mentioned that a critical component of kosher is the idea of shal kayama. The kosher has to be something which is going to last. What exactly kayama means, whether it means literally forever or it means for a very, very long time, is somewhat up for grabs. But everybody seems to agree that if it's a kosher, she'er shal kayama, at worst it's going to be as the rabbanon, and sometimes it may even be mutter. So in order to be the ice, it has to have that aspect of kayama to it. But it was unclear how exactly you define kayama. So we quoted a major machlokes from the Taz and the Mishneh Berurah, whether kayama is defined by the person, or the kayama can even be defined by the derech ha'olam. If you have a particular knot that most people tie forever, even if you personally plan on untying it in the next couple of hours, that may still qualify as a kesha on the level of deraisa. So if we go back, since we didn't have the Ramakom, so let's start. We'll take a look quickly at the fifth of the Ramakomos, where we left off in terms of this discussion. So we take a look at the fifth of the Ramakom. It's six lines from the bottom. The first one line was shell. So v'nira de be'inin shalonu shederech kol ha'olam la'asoso b'kviyos. If you have a knot that the olam does this type of a knot b'kviyos, lo azlinin basa daito. We don't follow what the person thinks. And even if this particular person plans on untying it soon, if the derech ha'olam is to tie it forever, that's called a knot on the level of deraisa. It says the Bir Alocha, based on what I just said, we will now understand the answer to the Kushas of Prima Gadim. Lama Enos and Tzitzis B'Shabbos. Why does the Gemara say explicitly that the making of Tzitzis on Shabbos is an outright Isser? It's also in the Raisa, so you can't tie the strings on Shabbos. Why? Yachshav Shalom Motzai Shabbos Yetir Miyad. Why don't you just have in mind that you're going to untie the strings on Motzai Shabbos? So he says, So he says, the people got about a lot of trouble with this. So he says, according to what I just said, says the Bir Alocha, everything is great. Because since tzitzis is a type of a knot that people tie forever, even though you personally plan on tying it for a short amount of time, so that's not going to solve the problem. It's still considered to be a kesher, even on a level of deraisa. Then he continues the Bir Alocha. Begam kushes agaru b'kibeigash hikshal suga de ervin kuf gimel gam enima b'mikdash l'udvar mitzvah yachshav latir b'tzai Shabbos kodesh l'udvarena du isa deraisa nicha. He refers to a suga, the enema sex ervin, where the Gemara is talking about if the Levim are singing in the Beis HaMikdash. We know the Levim would sing and they would play instruments in the Beis HaMikdash, and even on Shabbos they would play the instruments, and if one of the strings on the instruments broke, so there was a whole discussion about retying it. So basically the thrust of the sugya is that to retie the string would be an Issa D'Oraisa. What would be the Issa D'Oraisa? What's the table Issa D'Oraisa? So ask them, Kiveger, let them retie the string, have in mind to undo the string with Tzoy Shabbos. What's the D'Oraisa? Why isn't that called Eino Shokayama? So says the Bir Alocha, the same answer, that any time you have a knot that's dark of a kach to tie for a long period of time, your personal intent to untie it isn't going to help too much. So we have two very, very powerful rayas from the Bir Alocha. So the question is, is there any way to be doche this raya, especially the raya from tzitzis? Is there any way out of this raya? So in order to get out of this raya, we gave a whole introduction on the last year on Friday about a machlekes between Rabbeinu Tam and Rabbeinu Eliyahu about what the mitzvah of tefillin is all about. So we veered off of Shabbos for a moment into the mitzvah of tefillin. What does a keshesh of tefillin mean? When the Torah says, ukshartam leosei adecha, does that mean you have to literally make the knot new each day? What does ukshatam leosei adecha just mean? You put it on your arm and you tighten the pre-existing knot. That's also okay. So if you take a look at the sixth of the Maror Kamos, so Rabbeinu Tam says, from here we see that one is not obligated to tie one's knot of one's tefillin every day. Once the knot is made, it's made by your bar mitzvah, that it stays for the next 50 years. As long as you tighten the pre-existing knot, that's also considered to be kshiras tefillin, unlike the view of Rabbeinu Eliyahu. What was Rabbeinu Tam's raya against Rabbeinu Eliyahu? So his raya was from the Gemara in the end of Maseches Erevin, where the Gemara says that to tie tefillin on Shabbos would be an issa deraisa. If you remember, we spoke about the person who finds a pair of tefillin out in the street. So we permit him to violate Isurim the Rabbanon to protect the Kedushas of tefillin, but to violate deraisa is out of the question. So the Gemara says that if you find the tefillin and the ritzuos aren't connected, and you want to mamish tie them on, you can't carry them, there's no Erev. So you want to mamish tie them onto your body, you want to make a kesher and tie them onto your arm and head on Shabbos. So the Gemara says you can't do that, because tying knots of tefillin would be an issa deraisa. According to Rabbeinu Eliyahu, who says that you have to tie and untie the knot every day, why is that a deraisa? It should qualify as a kesha she'enu shel kayama. So says Rabbeinu Tam, you see from here that I'm right. You see that nobody ties and unties that fill knots every day. You tie it once for 50 years, that is an absolute kesha shel kayama. That was the raya of Rabbeinu Tam to deflect the shita of Rabbeinu Eliyahu. Is there any way to defend Rabbeinu Eliyahu? Not that we're going to defend him. We don't pass like him. Is there any way to defend him? So Rabbeinu Eliyahu is quoted as saying, this Mar Mochum number 7 is not correct. It's in Chulin, that place, but that particular Mochum is not right. So comes the Mordechai, and says Chulin, and defends Rabbeinu Eliyahu and says, now, he says, how could you say that you're putter on tying a tefillin knot? How could you hide behind Eino Shekhayama on a tefillin knot? Even though it's physically going to be untied, according to Rabbeinu Eliyahu, but Rachamana Achshve Kesher, the Torah calls it a Kesher. The Torah says Ukshartam. So you're saying, no, the Torah says Ukshartam. No, it's not a Kesher. It's not a Kesher. The Torah itself calls it Ukshartam. So says Rabbeinu Eliyahu, even though it in fact doesn't meet the criteria of normal Kesher, what are we going to do? I'm trumped by the Torah's definition. The Torah calls it a Kesher, it's called a Kesher. Even if I personally, or the other one, it doesn't matter what people are doing, if the Torah calls it a Kesher, it's considered to be a Kesher. So comes the Minchas Chinuch and says that maybe we can invoke this teretz for Rabbeinu Eliyahu to explain away why the tzitzis issue is not an issue. What was the raya of the Mishnah Berura that tzitzis is considered to be a kesha deraisa, even though the person in theory could have in mind to untie it tonight? You see from here, says the Mishnah Berura, that you follow what the oilam does, not what the person does. Says the Minchas Chinuch, no. Since the halacha requires kesher on tzitzis, the Gemara says kesher shel tzitzis kesher elyon deraisa. You have to have some knots on your tzitzis. You can't just throw a couple of strings in and just leave them hanging. There's a din deraisa that you have to tie the strings onto the tzitzis. There is no specific halacha how the ties have to be, how many times you have to go around, how many knots. Those are all menhagim and they're abanas. Those are different shitas. But the basic tzur of tzitzis, that you have to have strings that go into the hole, and you have to have some kind of a kesher or something connecting them, that's a din deraisa. That's halacha moshe mesina. That's part of the tzura of the mitzvah of tzitzis. You have to have what's called kesher elyon on tzitzis. So comes the Michas Klinich and says, Rachmana achshevei lekesher. The same way that Rabbeinu Eliyahu said that tefillin is automatically a deraisa. There's no question that it is a deraisa to tie tefillin on Shabbos, even if you get untied after Shabbos, even if you get untied Sunday morning, it doesn't matter. Rachman achshvei kesher. So too, when it comes to tzitzis, don't tell me a story. You're going to untie it. He's going to untie it. Yedim's going to untie it. It's irrelevant. Because Rachman achshvei kesher, the Torah considers tzitzis strings to be a kesher, the same way the Torah considers tefillin straps to be a kesher. So when all the dust settles, we have a major machlekes that we showed them now about how do we look at these types of ksharim that the Torah gives significance to. The Torah speaks about kesher shel tefillin, and the Torah speaks about kesher shel tzitzis. So according to one group of Rishonim, according to Benetam, to know whether these are Yisurim deraisa to make on Shabbos, you go with the regular guidelines of Hilchos Shabbos. If it's shel kayama, then it's deraisa. If in theory you could figure out a way to tie a tefillin and tzitzis not shel kayama, then it wouldn't be deraisa. The only thing is, says the Rabbeinu Tam, there's no way to do it, because since the Olam always ties to Shel Kayama, it's by default going to be Shel Kayama. But according to Rabbeinu Tam, we're going with the regular definitions of Hilchos Shabbos, even when we are discussing these special halakhically mandated knots. And according to Rabbeinu Eliyahu, and according to the Michas Chinuch, no, that these types of knots that the Torah requires for other halakhic reasons, nothing to do with Hilchos Shabbos, there's a mitzvah of tefillin, there's a mitzvah of tzitzis, these are other tangential mitzvahs that happen to be taking place on Shabbos. Once they're called a kesher for Hilchos Tefillin purposes, they are by default called a kesher for Hilchos Shabbos purposes. Once they're called a kesher for Hilchos Tzitzis purposes, they're by default called a kesher for Hilchos Shabbos purposes. What is the Nekudas of Machlokes? What is the Lomdus? What is really going on here? How Rabbeinu Eliyahu has this idea. It's like, Migo, it's called the Kesher for one area, it's called the Kesher for other areas. And Rabbeinu Tam says, he never heard of such a thing. Hilchos Shabbos stands on its own 2 feet, and sits in Tefillin are in their own league. So the Chora, what's really going on in this sugya in terms of Lomdus, is really a fundamental question, which takes us really back to Hilchos Shabbos. We started off the sugya 2 days ago by saying there's an absolute requirement, chayk v'lo yavar, that in order to be a kesher deraisa, it has to be shel kayama. If it's lacking shel kayama, again, we didn't define exactly what kayama means, but if it's lacking kayama, deraisa it cannot be. A temporary knot can come out very quickly, cannot possibly be deraisa. One can raise a chakira as to what the nature of this halacha is. Why is it that such a requirement exists? The Mishnah talks about it, the Gemara talks about it, the Rishonim talk about it, the Shulchan Aruch talks about it, but no one explains to us why. Where did it come from? How do you know that a kesha has to be shel chayavim? So one can understand this in one of two ways. Either one can understand that this is a detail of Hilchos Shabbos. This is part of a general approach to Hilchos Shabbos. Shabbos has to be permanent. This is part of Mishkan, this is part of Malachas Machsheves, and we have found such an idea by other Malachas, that if you do things in a shabby way, you do things in a way that's not going to last all that long, it's the same as you did things with your left hand, you did things without the proper intention, you did things without the proper goal. All these chesronos, where it's not considered to be a malacha for Hilchos Shabbos purposes, it just doesn't meet the mark of the model of Mishkan. The Mishkan was a very well thought out process. The Mishkan was something of significance. You do things a chick-chock way that it's falling apart in the next 10 minutes. That's a chesron in Hilchos Shabbos. That's one way of understanding this halacha of Shel Koyamah. Or maybe one could say, no, this is not what we call a din prati in Hilchos Shabbos. This is not a technicality in Hilchos Shabbos derived from Mishkan, Lechos Machsheves. This is the very definition of the word kesher. The word kesher means to tie things together for permanence. I just take two things and tie them together and 10 seconds later untie them. It's nishkin kesher. That's not considered to be a kesher. When you have a halachic concept, a certain halachic definitions, so the word kosher, in halacha, look up called halachapedia, whatever you want to call it, the word kosher in halacha has a certain connotation to it. It means not just to physically tie two strings together, but to tie a knot that's going to last. That is part of the very definition of the word kosher, not necessarily a detail in Hilchos Shabbos. Might have come in a ladina between the two. That makes a lot of sense. Can we take this principle of kayama out of Hilchos Shabbos? Does it make any sense outside the realm of Hilchos Shabbos? Is this requirement of kayama have any relevance when we're not dealing with Malach of Shabbos per se? So if you go the first route, so the answer is no. As we've seen already many times, there are many details of Hilchos Shabbos that don't play out in other areas of halacha. We spoke about this many times. Malacha shenetzricha legufa. I do a malacha, I know exactly what I'm doing, but I'm doing it for a different purpose than was done in the Mishkan. Nobody would ever apply that principle out of Shabbos. That's a detail of Shabbos. That's explicit in the Rishayim. That's a Shabbos dikadin. So if you hold that the requirement of kayama is a Shabbos dikadin, what does that have to do with anything else? But if you hold that the requirement of kayama is part and parcel of the definition of the Torah word kosher, so then whenever the Torah uses the word kosher, it means X, Y, and Z. We've seen this many times. There's a Torah definition of Zareah. So whenever the Torah uses the word Zareah, whether it's Shabbos, whether it's Kelayim, whether it's Shemitah, it means the same thing. The Torah has a definition of the word Bishul. So Bishul is Bishul in Hilchos Shabbos, and Bishul in Hilchos Basa B'Cholov, Bishul in Hilchos Korban Pesach. There are certain Torah definitions of words, of terms, that cross party lines that apply even out of the realm of Hilchos Shabbos. So if you're going to tell me that kosher is a halacha and that has nothing to do with Hilchos Shabbos, that's to do with the very definition of the word kosher, so then it's going to be equally true outside of Shabbos. That seems to be the root of the machlokes between Rabbi Natam and Rabbi Elio. Rabbi Natam said that the Gemara tells us, Yechayev on Shabbos for tying tefillin. So Rabbi Natam says, finished, Yechayev for tying tefillin. It must be that the Gemara is telling us that tying tefillin is by definition automatically a kesher shel kayama, and therefore Rabbi Eliyahu is rejected. Rabbi Eliyahu said, you have to tie your tefillin every day. Rabbi Natam said, it can't be, it's impossible. How could it be you have to tie your tefillin Sunday morning and untie them Sunday morning and retie on Monday morning? How could that be a kesher shel kayama on Shabbos? It's impossible. To which Rabbi Eliyahu said, but what do you mean? But it's called the kesher. The Torah says, "Ukshat b'el se'adecha." What would Rabbi Natam respond? You're right, it's called the kesher. That's true but irrelevant. It's called the kesher, but it's still potter in Hilchos Shabbos. According to Rabbi Natam, we never said it's not called the kesher. It was called the kesher. It's called the kesher, but you're not chayv in Hilchos Shabbos. Because in order to be chayv in Hilchos Shabbos, there's an added component. You have to have shel kayoma. How can you bring me a raya from the fact that it's called the kesher? Oh, if it's called the kesher, so then you're chayv in Shabbos. Rabbi Natam says, it's always called the kesher, and you're still potter in Shabbos. Rabbi Eliyahu understood that the reason why Enosh Shekayam is Pater is because it's not called a Kesher. That's by definition, that's a din in Hilchos Kesher. The definition of Kesher means it has to be Shel Kayama. So that's what Rabbi Eliyahu said. That's true 99% of the time. But if the Torah itself calls it a Kesher, so we just trumped, the Torah says it's a Kesher. So you're going to turn around and look at the Torah in the face and say, no, it's not, I don't think it's called a Kesher. But Rechamar Achshvei Kesher, the Torah itself calls it a Kesher. So from the fact that Rabbeinu Eliyahu is jumping from Hilchas Tefillin to Shabbos and saying, well, if it's called the Kesher Hilchas Tefillin, then by extension it's called the Kesher Hilchas Shabbos, that's because Rabbeinu Eliyahu understood that the requirement for Kayama is a din that permeates all of Torah. It's wherever there's a din of Kesher. Shabbos, Tefillin, Tzitzis, making Kalim with the base of me. You tell me there's a din of a Kesher. If it's a din of a Kesher, Kesher requires Shal Kayama. And Rabbi Natam says, no, Kesher Kayama is a din of Hilchas Shabbos, and the fact that it's called the Kesher and Tefillin is Lamal Hamar. It doesn't make a difference. Is there any Nafkamina Ladina in this discussion for us? So there's a tremendous Nafkamina Ladina in Hilchas Tefillin. Let's leave Shabbos for a second, go back to Hilchas Tefillin. What would you say to Din about the following case? What if I make a kesher on my tefillin? Which again is halacha Moshe Masinai. Kshatim leil sedecha. You need a kesher shel tefillin. What if I make my kesher shel tefillin in such a way that it's eino shel kayama? It said I make it in a temporary manner. Would that be okay? Not for Shabbos. Would that be okay for the mitzvah d'arayis of anochas tefillin? I'm about to fulfill the mitzvah. Kshatim leil sedecha. V'ilta tefos benenecha. I require a kesher to be present there. The particular kesher that I have, just by quirk, happens to be a very, very temporary kind of a kesher. Can I fulfill the mitzvah of tefillin with a temporary kesher or not? According to Minatam, why not? According to Minatam, Hilchas Kesher Shel Kayama has nothing to do with outside of Shabbos. Hilchas Kesher Shel Kayama is a Shabbos Nikadin, not a tefillin Nikadin, not a tzitzis Nikadin. According to Rabbeinu Eliyahu, we can begin to negotiate. We don't have to negotiate because we don't follow Rabbeinu Eliyahu. Haraya, nobody ties that tefillin every day. We tighten that tefillin every day. We don't tie that tefillin every day. So according to the way we paskin, Lalach like Rabbeinu Tam, and the lumdus of Rabbeinu Tam is that the requirement of Kayama is a detail in Hilchas Shabbos. It's irrelevant outside of Shabbos. It turns out that in Hilchas Tefillin, there never was, never is such a requirement. This is, in contrast to it, it's a famous chumrah from the Avnei Nezer. The Avnei Nezer has the following chumrah. Most people do not follow this chumrah. Let's say if a person borrows somebody else's tefillin. So you buy somebody's tefillin for the day. So very often, you put the tefillin on, they don't quite fit. They're a little bit too big, they're sliding off a little bit too small, they can't get on your head. So the guy wants to, obviously you have to ask permission to do this. He asks permission from the owner of the tefillin. Can I please adjust the tefillin for a little bit? Assuming the guy knows how to do it. I'll just adjust it, and then right after I finish davening, I'll adjust it back again. So comes the Avnei Nezer and says that he's not sure that the person is yotzei mitzvah tefillin that way. Because if you're adjusting the tefillin, you're making the kesher for the next half hour. And then you're going to undo the kesher and redo it again for the other guy. So that kesher, when you were wearing the tefillin, those tefillin were only niksharim for a half hour. So says the Avnei Nezer, maybe that's not called nikshatim, maybe that's like a kesher she'en osho chayava, a chumra for the Avnei Nezer. So the Mishnah Berurah, the Mishnah Berurah doesn't quote this at all. If anything, it's clear from the Mishnah Berurah that he never even heard of this Chumra, because the Mishnah Berurah writes that when you borrow somebody's tefillin, the Mishnah Berurah just says, make sure that they really fit you. And if they don't fit you, make sure that you find someone who can make them fit you. Mishnah Berurah gives you a whole Shvai Chavikai, make sure the tefillin fit you, because if they don't fit you, they're going to be too big, they're not really tied, they're too small, they're not going to be in the right place. So Mishnah Berurah says, just make sure that the tefillin actually fit you. That would have been a perfect place for the Mishnah Berurah to say, and by the way, if you adjust somebody's tefillin, you're not yotzei. If the Mishnah Berurah thought that was true. So from the fact that he never made mention, didn't even allude, didn't even reference such a shita, the Mishnah Berurah never heard of such a thing. According to what we're saying, Taka makes sense not to quote such a chumrah, because it doesn't seem to be correct, up yalacha. The Mechilas Kavod, the Hilga Avnei Nezer, that chumrah of the Avnei Nezer seems to be more in Rabbeinu Eliyahu's mindset, that the din of Kayama is a din of Kesher in other areas of halacha. We who follow the view of Rabbeinu Tam, that Kesher Shel Kayama is unique to Hilchas Shabbos, it has nothing to do with Kol Torah Kula, it's called the Kesher. It's called the Kesher in Hilchas Tefillin, even without being Shel Kayama. So at the end of the day, I don't think that most people follow that Chumrah of the Avnei Nezer, but the root of that Chumrah comes from our Sugya. So what we do now, we've been spending a lot of time talking about Kayama, not only as being a factor in terms of Kesher Deraisa, but really being the factor of Kesher Shel Kayama, of Kesher on Shabbos. So we when we introduced the sugya, we said that there were three types of knots that appear in the Mishnayos and in the Gemaras. One knot is Chayav Deraisa, one is Potter Velosa B'Derabanan, and one is totally Mutar. What are the factors? So Rashi said there are no multiple factors, there's one factor. The one factor is time. If it's very Kayama, it's Deraisa, quasi Kayama D'Rabbanan, not Kayama at all, then it's totally Mutar. Where do you draw the line at not Kiyam at all? So we said different opinions, 24 hours, a week, etc. But according to Rashi, there was only one factor alone, that was Kiyam. But now we go back to the beginning of the sugya again, back to the first page of the Maamar Kamos. So the Rambam formulates the sugya very, very different from Rashi. So the Rambam in the second of the Maamar Kamos, in Perigud Halacha Aleph, Hakosher Kesha Shokayama Vahu Maisa Uman Chayev. So the Rambam starts out sounding like Rashi, that if you tie a permanent knot, and then the Rambam throws in a phrase we've never heard of yet, Maisa Uman. It's not enough for it to be a permanent knot. It has to also be, for lack of a better translation, at least right now, it has to be more of a professional knot. Something that you have to really call in an expert to tie. If it has both of these characteristics, then and only then it's going to be chayev. And then the Rambam gives you a list of these kinds of types of knots. Kigon Keshra Gamolin, the camel driver's knots, the Keshra Saponim, the sailor's knots, the Kishri Ritsuas Minov Sandal Shakoshin Haratz Anubishasas Yosan, the knots that you make on your shoe, not the shoelaces to tie your shoe, but rather knots that are made on shoes and sandals when they're actually made. It means the knots that are made to keep the different pieces of the shoe together. And Vachen Kokhyotzibizah, anything similar to this would be deraisa. Aval, says the Rambam, Hakosha Keshra Shokayama, Veinamais Uman Potter. If a person makes a long-lasting knot, but it's not a particular professional kind of a knot, it's not the kind of knot you got to go to camel driving school to go. It's not the type of knot that only shoemakers or only sailors know how to make. Everybody knows how to make. So it's an eino maisa uman yipotter. V'kesha she'eino shokoyama ve'eino maisa uman mutlo kosher l'chadchila. Says the Rambam, if you want to be mutter, so then it has to be something that's neither shokoyama nor maisa uman. So according to the Rambam, we have a whole different way of mapping out the three possibilities. So we had a blackboard, we drew it out. According to Rashi, there's one factor. Very permanent, quasi-permanent, not permanent at all. According to the Rambam, no. According to the Rambam, if both conditions are met, it is both permanent. How permanent is it permanent? Very permanent. If it's both permanent as well as Maisa Uman, then it's Deraisa. If it's either permanent or Maisa Uman, then it's Derabanan. If it's neither permanent, nor Maisa Uman, then it's Mutl Chachila. So we have two very, very different approaches in the Rishonim, what exactly the definition or definitions are to determine whether we have a knot that's Deraisa, whether we have a knot that's only Midrabana, whether we have a knot that's totally Mutter. Who is the Machmer, who is the Makel in the Shaila? Is Rashi the Machmer, or is the Rambam the Machmer? It depends on which vantage point you're coming from. There are Chumras to both. In theory, according to Rashi, if you have a knot that's very, very temporary, it's going to come out in the next few minutes, according to Rashi, you don't have to ask any more questions, it's going to be mutter. According to Rashi, nothing can go wrong with a knot that's extremely temporary. According to the Rambam, something still could go wrong if it's a Maisa Uman. If it's a professional knot, albeit a temporary professional knot, it's still going to be usur with the Rabbanan. So you could have potential chumras according to the Rambam. What if you have the other way around? What if you have a knot that's not all that temporary, but not completely, but it's somewhere in that middle category? According to the Rambam, that middle category doesn't exist. So according to the Rambam, if you have a knot that's a non-professional, not a maisa hedyot, and it's not absolutely permanent, then it's mutl l'chadchila. Whereas according to Rashi, that's going to be also l'chadchila midrabanan, because that's going to get stuck in the middle category. So yesh v'yesh. There are chumras and there are kudlas of Rashi and the Rambam. How do we paskin l'halocha in this machlokes? So if you take a look at the Shulchan Aruch, so Shulchan Aruch on the fourth of the Maamar Kamos. So Shulchan Aruch and Siman Shin Yud Zayin Tif Aleph, the first sif about kosher. Shulchan Aruch writes a kosher shkesha chayama v'maisa uman chayev. So the Shulchan Aruch is quoting right out of the Rambam. You need both conditions together. The Rambam says, Kigon, Kigon, Keshra Gemolim, Vikeshra Zaponim, Vikeshra Ritzuos, Menav Sandish, Kosra Ratzon, Vishas Yoyim, Avala Kosher, Keshra Chiyom, Eina Mais Uman, Potter. So the Shulchan Aruch is pretty straight like the Rambam. Hagah, says the Rambam, V'yesh Omer, there are those who say, Shesvir Lahu, V'yesh Chokim, Shesvir Lahu, Dechol Keshra Shokayama, Afil Shal Hejel Chayav in Alav. Rashi and the Rashi and other Rishonim who don't have that second requirement of Maisa Uman, just the fact that it's Kesha Shokayama, that in and of itself can make you Chayav. So the Ramah quoted Yesh Chokim. The post can point out the Ramah did not mean to say Yesh Chokim that we should be maker like Rashi. The Ramah just added on Yesh Chokim that In addition to the Rambam, we should be choshesh for Rashi, which basically translates to mean that any knot that is usur, either according to Rashi or according to the Rambam, is automatically problematic. So what that translates for us, lemaisa, to mean is as follows. Any knot that's a maisa, uman, is bechlal out of the question. If it's a professional knot, I don't care if it's going to come out in the next 10 seconds. If it's a maisa, uman, it's going to be outright awesome in the Rabbanan, in deference to the view of the Rambam. If you have a knot that's even quasi-permanent, doesn't have to be super-duper permanent, quasi-permanent, no matter what it is, it's automatically usher also, in deference to Shittas Rashi. The only way we're ever going to give you a green light on a knot to either tie or to untie is that two conditions must be absolutely present. It must be absolutely not a professional knot, and number two, it has to be unbelievably temporary. We don't know yet what that number is, but you need a combination of those two factors to become mutar l'chatchila. Again, according to Rashi, you don't need all those factors. According to the Rambam, you don't need all those factors. But since we're not sure who's right, Rashi and the Rambam, we're choshesh, the minhag is to be choshesh for both the shittas, and therefore the only time we'll be outright matar or not is if both conditions are met. It has to be completely, absolutely, 100% temporary, plus it has to be no chashash, no fear whatsoever of a ma'is uman. That's how we paskin l'halacha. Now, just because we just created this, in a sense, this chumashita, we're still not done, because we still haven't defined properly what Eder Shekoyeba Klal Klal means. We saw some shitas floating around, but we haven't gotten to the halach about it, and we haven't really defined Maisa Uman yet. We gave a few examples of Maisa Uman. We gave a very rough definition of Maisa Uman in terms of a professional versus an amateur or not, but we haven't yet finalized what a definition of that is. Hopefully, tomorrow, we'll try to figure out what exactly the Kayama really means, or Eina Kayama really means, what exactly Maisa Uman means and doesn't mean, and then put together with the chumras that we have in terms of Mechoshet, Rashi, and Rambam, we'll try to get a little bit of a better understanding of the Maisa, which knots are potentially problematic and which are not.